You're about to listen to a sermon preached at Bethel Lutheran Church in Fergus Falls, Minnesota. Bethel is committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ and leading people to believe, belong, and build faith at home. It's our hope that God will encourage you through the preaching of His Word.
I'm Levi, and this is my wife, Katie, and we recently got married October 6th, so a couple months ago.
My grandma brought my brother and I to church. Growing up, we went to Sunday school and was baptized when I was 11, but I didn't have a good at-home faith-based household, and so I didn't know what a relationship with Jesus looked like.
I guess for me, I grew up in a Christian home. Went to church almost every Sunday. I wasn't necessarily a Christian, but I knew all about it. I knew I could tell you how to be a Christian. And the thing that kind of held me back that I was waiting for, I guess, was like, I thought I was pretty good. Kind of thought I was better than other people. Still struggle with that sometimes.
I had a friend who really showed me what a relationship with Christ looked like. I realized that I had been trying to control and direct my life, and it led me down a very dangerous path. And so I recognized that, and I saw that, and I surrendered to Christ, and was like, I need you to take control here, because I can't do it. When I gave my life to Christ, like, I saw it completely change. It was, like, so much better than what I thought was what I wanted.
When you read the Bible, the world makes sense. Mm-hmm. And when you don't, when you are kind of thinking on your own, it doesn't make sense at all. In 1 Peter 2:24, it says, who himself bore our sin on his own body on the tree. That right there shows that God took our sin on the cross and that we had nothing to do with giving good works for our sin. It was Jesus that did that. I mean, without Jesus, it's entirely purposeless and empty.
Thanks, Levi and Katie, for being willing to share your story with us. It's a story of how God meets us, how God delivers us, how God saves and rescues us. He jumps into our world, He leaps into our world, and He changes things. I love that last phrase that Levi said. He summed it up so beautifully. Without Jesus, it is entirely purposeless and empty. The good news is, because of Christmas, we have purpose. It is not empty. God has entered our world in a tiny little baby, a Savior. So we've been talking, Joel talked about with the kids, we've been talking about, what are you waiting for? We've been thinking about this theme, what are you waiting for this Advent season? And so we're thinking about that and thinking about the topic of waiting. And you know, I don't know about you, but I don't know if I've ever found anyone who really likes waiting. I mean, really. I mean, when was the last time you heard someone say something like this? Oh, it was a great day. I hit all the red lights, you know? It was awesome, you know? I thought I was going to get there really quick, but it took me longer, and I got to wait at every red light and just rest and relax and see the world around me. Who says that? Nobody. You know, what kid says when they're, you know, on the way to grandma's house and they've been in the car 6 hours and say, Dad, can you go around the block a few more times? I just love being in the car, strapped in, looking at the back of your head. It's just so awesome. Please do it one more time. You know, never been said. What do we hear when we take our kids on these long trips? Remember those four words? Are we there yet? Right? That's what you hear. Okay, I got a free tip for you guys. No charge for this. When you take a long trip, here's what my brother taught me this, and I'm going to pass it on to you because it was the greatest long trip thing we ever did. Here's what you do. You go on a super long trip or even just a short long trip. You give your kids each a roll of quarters, $10 worth. You say, it's your money. But every time you ask, are we there yet? You owe me a quarter. It is the best 10 bucks you'll ever spend, man. I'm telling you, it's awesome. But of course, here's the deal. Just be, you know your family. Every family's got a lawyer or two, right? Every family's got, you know, someone who's like a union official, right? And they're trying to figure out how to get around the rules, okay? So just be ready for it. Like, they'll ask something like this. How long till we eat lunch and stop? And then after then, when will our next stop? They just get really sneaky. Just got to be ready for it. So, but man, don't we just hate waiting? Some of you, you know, are going, man, as soon as this guy finishes his sermon and we get out of here, we get to go home and we get to open one present tonight. So let's wrap it up. Tick-tock, pastor dude. Come on. You know, it's hard to wait when you have something exciting to look forward to. But sometimes the waiting is also difficult, not because you have something, you know, really positive like Christmas or some big event to look forward to, maybe birth of a child or a wedding. Waiting's hard and all those things. But sometimes the waiting is hard because there's brokenness in the middle of it. And you're waiting for something that we don't want to see happen, or something has happened. And the waiting is so difficult because of the brokenness and the difficulty. Our world is touched by the realities that things have gone wrong. Things aren't as they should be. We wait in difficult situations. We wait for a phone call. Maybe someone to call back, to be reconciled, to say, hey, I'm sorry. I haven't called you for a while. I owe you a phone call. You wait for that text, for that phone call, for someone to explain what went wrong. Maybe you wait in a quiet house. There's someone's voice that is gone this Christmas. And the silence is deafening. You wait, you miss that voice. Maybe you're a child. Maybe there's a child that's hearing my voice now, and you wait, wondering if there ever will be peace on earth when you hear mom and dad fighting. Some of you are waiting for the next checkup, the next scan, the yearly mammogram. It's something that, in some one hand, you wait for, in the other hand, you wish would never come. And some of you are waiting, longing for someone to commit your life to. You go to your friends' weddings, and there's an ache inside your own heart wondering, when will it be my turn? Waiting is hard. Waiting is hard. Our soul asks, are we there yet? When will we get there? The way it had to have been hard for the young virgin Mary from Nazareth. I mean, you think about it. Think of the circumstances around her pregnancy. The Holy Spirit had come upon her, and she was with child. And so you can imagine the conversations in the marketplace, the averted eyes, you know, the avoiding eye contact with Mary, because it's like, That's quite a story to tell. She had to wait. The stares and whispers she heard must have left her feeling alone and waiting, longing for her child to come. The angel had told Mary that the child that she was to give birth to would be from the Holy Spirit and would be Son of the Most High, a king that would rule forever. It was hard to wait. Are we there yet? Mary's son would be the one that would fulfill the promises that had been on the hearts of God's people since the beginning of time. Joel mentioned the promise given to Adam and Eve as a result of the fall in the Garden of Eden, the promise made that someday things will be made right, that someday someone would come who would crush the head of the deceiver. And then the promise given to Abraham, someone who would come from the family of Abraham who would bless all nations through Abraham. That's quite a promise. And they were waiting for someone who would come who would bless all nations through Abraham. And then it was through the line of David, through King David, said, someone who's come from you, a king who's going to reign forever. Then the promise, not only to the people of Israel, not only to the line of King David, but this king would be one who would suffer in our place, the prophet Isaiah said. He's one who's going to come and be a suffering servant. The people of Israel have been asking for hundreds of years, is this the one? Are we there yet? And then, to this virgin from Nazareth, pledged to be married to Joseph, God sends his final word. He sends his message of love in the form of a helpless little baby born to this young couple who had traveled to Bethlehem, who were waiting for a room. You wonder if Mary asked, are we there yet, to Joseph? God speaks, and he speaks a tiny little infant. I mean, you think about it. With all that is wrong in the world, with wars, people fighting with one another, with hatred, with stealing and murder, anger and hatred, the way God is going to undo all of this is through a tiny little baby. That's a crazy plan. That makes no sense. It's how God works. God speaks. It's not just any baby, but this is the Son of God in flesh. He gives us the word that we need, not the word that we want to choose. You know, the reality is that we want power and victory, and God comes in weakness. We want success, and God dies on a cross. We want our life to be fixed, and he invites us to worship the infant child in the manger. We want prestige and fame. He invites us to repent and believe that this Jesus is all that we need. We think we need more stuff, and he says, here's what you need. We want God to give us a kind of life we've dreamed of, and he sends us the life that we need, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus. He is the one who will save us from our sins. Jesus, the Word, became flesh. See, he is what your soul needs when you get that phone call and your world is turned upside down. He is what you need when you sit in that doctor's office and you're terrified. He is what you need as you wait and wonder if your family will ever be whole again. And it might not be. He is the final word. He is the word that you need. Michael Card, in his song, The Final Word, says it like this. You and me, we use so very many clumsy words. The noise of what we often say is not worth being heard. When the Father's wisdom wanted to communicate his love, he spoke it in one final perfect word. He spoke the incarnation, and then so was born the Son. His final word was Jesus. He needed no other one. spoke flesh and blood so he could bleed and make a way divine. And so was born the baby who would die to make it mine. The word you need has been spoken. The one who's going to make all things right. God's Son in the flesh, lying in a manger. The angels proclaim this good news to the shepherds, and the shepherds proclaim that good news to others. It says in Luke 2, the shepherds made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. It's what we do when we hear good news, right? I mean, you can't keep it to yourself. You hear something good, watch a usually calm Scandinavian mother react when it's discovered that she's going to be a grandma for the first time, and then tell her to keep the news to herself. You can't keep good news to yourself. You might as well try to hold back the wind. We have the best news in the world. A Savior has been born. He's come for you. He will make all things right. My friends, you belong to God. He has won your heart. He has made you his own. You are his. You belong to him. He's claimed you. Came to earth and he lived and died the life that you should have lived, and died the death that you deserved. And he says, that one's mine. That's what God has done. God's favor rests upon you. You have nothing to fear. God holds you. Good news is way too good to keep to yourself. Some of you aware that at this very day, on Christmas Eve, there's a family that is landing in Chad, Africa, the Narvisons, David and Sonia and their kids. They left this morning from France, flying to Chad, Africa, landing today, Christmas Eve day. Why? They finished their study in France, learning the French language, part of their training to go and be people who tell the good news to others. Why? Because good news is way too good to keep to ourselves. So we send people. We send them. We give. We pray. We bless them as they go. It's what we do. We tell others. We tell those who have never heard the good news that there is someone, Jesus Christ, who is for them, that God's favor rests upon them. Katie and Levi were asked to speak a little about this privilege of telling the good news to others, to share kind of how they see that and why it's important to them. We sat down with them and recorded their thoughts. So let's hear and watch what they have to say.
After I became a Christian, I really felt like I wanted to share the gospel with others. Mm-hmm. And when I moved back to Fergus, I knew some Young Life leaders, and I thought that was a really cool opportunity to be able to share the gospel with high school kids. And for me, it felt very personal because I wish I would have had that in high school. I wish I would have had somebody like sharing the word of God with me and mm-hmm. and praying with me and just walking along side me in, yep. in life. And
I can remember one time specifically that I thought I really needed to share the gospel. Like, the person was hurting, broken, and didn't know where to go. And they told me they didn't want anything to do with it.
Yeah, I don't think we should get caught up or worried about, like, how their response is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's just us sharing the gospel, and how they respond to that is how they respond to it. And we have to trust in the Lord that he will soften their hearts to that.
And I think it's interesting too, because in the Bible it talks about like the sower sowing the seed in the Word of God, and the sower sows it everywhere. He throws it on all different kinds of ground and dirt, and some of those seeds come up and bear fruit, and some of them don't. And I think we are called to do that, just kind of spread the gospel wherever we go.
I would want to share my faith because there's hope in Jesus, and there's salvation in Jesus.
Sharing your faith isn't something that should be work and demanding for you all the time, because it's something that directly flows out of your relationship with Jesus. I think when you know what you found in Jesus, it makes you want to share your faith. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see people I know having to go through that judgment, the eternal judgment, mm-hmm. when they could have eternal peace and joy and satisfaction with Jesus.
I've lived part of my life as not a Christian, and then becoming a Christian, like, I can see the vast differences between when I was following Christ and when I wasn't following Christ.
When you see the world kind of going in a bad direction, you have always have that hope and that rock that is always mm-hmm. going to be there, and that you always know that in the end, you have a God that doesn't change.
Hi, I'm Pastor Dave Foss, and you just heard a sermon preached at Bethel Lutheran Church. It's our hope that God encouraged you through the preaching of His Word today. And if He has, if that's the case with you, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love the chance to minister to you further, or simply to cheer on God's work in your life in any way we can. Through our website at bethellutheran.church, you can contact us, and we'd love to hear from you. So until then, may God bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord turn His face towards you and give you His peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.